إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, today we conclude the understanding of the two ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We mentioned the importance of taqwa, we mentioned the importance of being truthful and the problems of not being truthful. Now, if you have taqwa and you are truthful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then announced the reward. And the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced after yuslih lakum a'malakum itself is reward, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will make islah and He will make good the deeds, which means He will make things easy, He will guide you to do the right things, and He will put barakah in the effort that we make, inshallah. So that itself is reward. In addition to that, and this is the nature of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, where He gives without asking, He gives without counting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the highest possible benefit and reward that any slave can hope for, which is yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, that Allah will forgive your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specify which sins. It's a general statement, meaning forgive all sins. Forgive your sins. There are only two dhururiyat. Daruri is, the word darura is used for something without which you cannot exist. Something which is literally, if you don't have that, it is life-threatening. And that is why the principle of darura is, even in the Sharia, it is used to, in situations of such dire need, where even the issue of halal and haram is no longer valid. So, for example, if you are in a state where you are completely dying of starvation, then to eat something which is normally haram, but in order to sustain life, that is the only thing available, then this is becomes permissible. It's not something which remains haram because of the principle of zarura. So, in terms of human existence, there are only two things which are darura, if you look at it. Only two things. The first one is hidayah, guidance. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for guidance. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Out of all the things to ask for, Allah said, ask for it. Allah did not say, ask for food, you know, ask for health, ask for children, ask for parents, ask for knowledge, even knowledge. Allah did not even say, ask for knowledge. Allah said, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ask for hidayah. Now, you get hidayah through knowledge, that's a different matter, but Allah did not say, ask for knowledge, Allah said, ask for hidayah. So, the first most important thing is darura, is hidayah. And the second most important thing is forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalla. So, it is hidayah in your life and forgiveness when we die. So, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us before we die and to give us Jannah after we die, inshallah. So, this forgiveness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. Promised to whom? People who have taqwa and people who are truthful. People who have taqwa and people who have truthful, who are truthful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated and reinforced the principle of this whole ayat, or the two ayats, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who obeys His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. Only that person, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. In Arabic, there are two words which are used in the Quran for success. One is falah and the other one is fawz. Falah is success, but success which is momentary. So it is success in one exam, for example. You pass one exam, you are successful, alhamdulillah. But doesn't mean now that there is no other exam for the rest of your life. No, there will be other exams and so on and so on. So other tests will come and so forth. So that is success, it is not failure. But it is not success which frees you from all exams. So that is called falah. But fawz is success after which there is no exam. That is permanent success. And even there Allah said, fawzan azima. So not only success, but the greatest of success. Faqad faza fawzan azima. So who is the one who has this greatest of success? The one who obeys Allah and who obeys Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And that's also a reinforcement for us to understand the people who try to make the differentiation between the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here and in every single other place in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not separate the obedience of Allah from the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah did not say obey Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's up to you, you feel like obeying, you can obey. If you don't want to obey, it is okay. Allah did not say this. وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The one who obeys Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam in the Quran and obedience to the ahkam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we have from the Sunnah that is with us. Both of these are critical for success. If somebody does one and he does not do the other, first of all, in most cases, that is not even possible because without the guidance of the Sunnah, you cannot even obey the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many examples. I will just give you one example, which is the example of Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu Salah. If somebody says, I will pray according to what is in the Quran, he cannot pray because Allah has not showed us how to pray in the Quran. Allah simply said, establish Salah. But if you say, no, I will only follow the Quran. So whatever is in the Quran, I will do. Then how will you do Salah? Because Allah has not described the Salah in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the description to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who explained it and who demonstrated it. And he said to the Sahaba, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. And this is only one example, and I can give you any number of other examples. And if you just look at the arkan of Islam, the five pillars of Islam, you can see that every single one of them, without exception, every single one of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gave the hukum in the Quran. Allah deliberately did not describe how it is to be done. Take the kalima. Where is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah as one sentence? Where is it in the Quran? Where is it in the Quran which says that to enter Islam, you have to say Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah? It is not there in the Quran. So how does somebody enter Islam? If somebody comes and says, I want to enter Islam, show me in the Quran. You can't show it. It is not there. Where is the method of Salah in the Quran? Where is the method of Zakat in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pay Zakat. But did he say how much Zakat, on which and what percentage, and what is exempt from Zakat, and what has Zakat, on which item and on which thing, how is it to be paid, and goods in transit and goods in stock and so on? Where is all this? Nothing. So, Kalima, Salah, Zakat, fasting. How do you fast? What can you eat? What can't you eat? What makes the fast invalid? All the ahkam of fasting, nothing. And then the fifth one is Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do Hajj to Baytullah. When must I do it? 1st of January? Christmas holidays? What must I do? Whenever I feel like going? What is the meaning of Hajj? I go and sit inside the Kaaba, I go and make tawaf of the Kaaba, what do I do? Nothing. Absolutely no explanation whatsoever. Can you imagine the five absolute pillars of Islam? We don't have to go any further. If somebody wants to deceive himself, of course, there is ample scope. But if someone wants to understand the basic foundational principles of Islam, the pillars of Islam, without which there is no religion, all the five, not even, there's no exception, all the five of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain to us. If somebody does not want to take the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person cannot be a Muslim. Believe me, I'm not pronouncing takfir. I'm just saying that person will find that it is impossible for him to be a Muslim if he says, I will follow only the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran, and he sent his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran as a part of the same message. You cannot separate one from the other. And Allah is mentioning that in this ayah, وَمَنْ يُوتِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Allah did not say, مَنْ يُوتِي اللَّهَ أَوْ رَسُولَهُ. No. The one who obeys Allah or obeys the Prophet. No. The one who obeys Allah and the Prophet. وَمَنْ يُوتِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who obey him and who obey his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil ihsan ila yawmiddin inshaAllah, until we meet our Rabb inshaAllah al-musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us, to make it easy for us and to forgive us our sins. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.